Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my socially distanced husband, Miko Alon.
Hi guys.
Thank you everyone so much for listening. We have quite a show in store for you today. We're going to open up the show talking all about the coronavirus. Oh, there's so much to talk about. The current events around that, the politics around that. There's a lot to talk about. So we're going to open up the show with that. Then we're going to move on to the new vegan product segment. Today we'll be tasting new vegan sausages by High Peaks. You know I love sausage. And then, of course, we'll be closing out the show with vegan animal rights news. Now, before we get started, I just want to encourage everyone, if you want to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. I am at VeganAri, Miko is at Miko Alon, or use the hashtag VeganAriShow. And if you like our podcast, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word about the show, that would be awesome too. We would greatly appreciate if you wouldn't mind a Facebook post or a tweet or a retweet about the show. If you listen every week and you love it, tell a friend. So thank you for all your support. Now, Miko, like I said, there's a lot to cover in this opening segment because I think this is the week where the shit really hit the fan with the coronavirus. As of last week, when we recorded the show, there were less than 500 cases in the United States. There are now more than 3,300. So this has grown more than sixfold in the United States. And it's suspected that there's a lot more cases. It's just there's not enough tests to know. On Wednesday, the World Health Organization declared this a pandemic. This is really a scary time in America and across the world. And I'm not saying that to panic anybody or to freak anybody out, but we are in the midst of something that I don't think anyone alive on Earth has ever experienced before. I think the last time humanity experienced something like this was during the 1918 Spanish flu. I don't think anyone is alive who can remember that. So where do you want to begin? This is just...
I mean, I guess we could start with the fact that reality is finally starting to hit home. I think my gravest concern at this moment is that we are right on track to repeat the horrifying experience that's unfolding in Italy right now, which is of the European countries the worst affected. In Italy, the mortality rate from the virus is over 7% because the hospital capacity has collapsed. And what's frightening to watch is that we should be doing every possible measure of social distancing. We should be shuttering our schools, bars, restaurants, movie theaters, everything. And we're not doing that, even though we're seeing the catastrophic consequences unfolding in Europe. I mean, if as we record this, Italy is in lockdown, Netherlands, France, Germany, a lot of countries are closing their borders. Those measures should be taken here at this very moment, but I think they will be within several days.
I mean, the thing is this, France is only recording about 1,500 more cases than us. They've already shut down all their restaurants, cafes, theaters. I don't understand why the United States, what are we waiting for? Like, the earlier we make decisions like that, the more we're going to stave off further people getting infected. So I don't understand what we're waiting for when we see the trajectory in other countries. It's like we can see the train coming and we're just like waiting for it to hit us. Like we should be taking very strong proactive measures to try and stem the amount of people who get this thing.
And it's almost like we have the ability to look back in time in the sense that you can look to what Italy was like 2 weeks ago when people were still outside and everything seemed normal. This is, I mean, people liken this to a tsunami or I think that's the most, they talk about this wave that suddenly hits. It starts invisible, and I hope people understand that when we talk about 3,300 cases, that represents a fraction of the actual cases because we have, courtesy of the Trump administration, have had virtually no testing capacity. We learned this past week that there were something like 11,000 tests total done until this week. So we have no idea the full scale of this, but estimates range that it's somewhere between 50,000 and 500,000 active cases, and you can be infectious even if you're not symptomatic. So I gravely worry what's going to happen to our public health system.
And you see people who are just acting in defiance. I mean, you have people like Dr. Fauci saying, you know, don't go to restaurants, you know, practice social distancing. I was just on Twitter and I'm seeing people at this thing called Downtown Nashville where there's like hundreds of people. Like, I saw people partying on Bourbon Street. I saw, you know, that they're now calling her Corona Katie, that woman in Nevada who was like, fuck you, I'm going to eat at Red Robin, I don't give a shit. Like, I just think that there's such a selfishness involved in not doing, you know, not doing this. Because even though you might be young and healthy, that's great, good for you, you could carry it to someone who does not have that privilege, someone who has an underlying health issue, someone who's over the age of 60. How dare you be so fucking selfish? And so to me, it's like all these people are like, I'm going to do what I want. Yeah, well, that's fucking really stupid and selfish and irresponsible, and shame on you. Shame on you for being such an asshole. That's all I can say. I mean, everybody should be doing this. And I think that the sad thing is that we need the leaders in this country. We need the mayors and the governors and the people at the federal level to actually shut it down, or else people aren't going to do it. We see that right now.
Right. And tragically, we are seeing that. I think the reason that people are not taking this seriously is because we watched first the president's horrifying and embarrassing initial announcement that he was declaring a national emergency, which still didn't go far enough to...
That was on Friday. But let's back up before that. Because the thing is this, I think one of the reasons why a lot of Americans aren't taking this seriously is because for weeks, all they heard from the president was, it's a hoax. We've contained it. We stopped it. Soon we're going to have zero cases. He also said it's going to miraculously go away. These were all things that he was telling Americans from all through February up until the beginning of March. Literally, this is what he was saying. So I think it's very confusing for a lot of people. Obviously this week, all of a sudden he decided to start taking it seriously, so after the World Health Organization declared it a pandemic, that he made a speech on Wednesday night, which, you know, is a very rare thing for a president to do, to take over airtime and, you know, address the nation. But the speech also was really confusing. I don't think he inspired much confidence. I think, you know, he in that speech, that was when he mentioned that he was closing the borders to Europe, that he wasn't going to allow travel. He bungled that.
He misstated three different things.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there was just a lot. And then he's like reading things and I don't know, when Donald Trump has to try to inspire anything other than hatred, it's just, it comes across phony. Like, it was like he was like reading off of the teleprompter, America is the most resilient nation. It's like he's this droning fucking, there's nothing inspirational there. And so after that speech on Wednesday night, the markets tanked 2,000 points. I think people were really, you know, that did not help people feel better about the situation. I think it just made people feel much worse. And so then you had people running to the supermarket, buying up all the fucking toilet paper. Like, it really felt like mayhem after that speech. And then on Friday, he does another press conference. This time, the thing on Wednesday wasn't a press conference, it was a speech. But this was a press conference on Friday from the Rose Garden. And this time, he brings all these CEOs. He had the CEO of CVS, of Walmart, of Target. And he does this... That press conference was so confusing to me because, number one, again, with the lies, he's telling everybody that Google is building a website and that they're going to be able to go to this Google site and put in their symptoms and it's going to tell you where to go. That was false. Google said, I don't know what he's talking about. We're not working on a national website. So that was weird that he said that, and strange. He's also telling people that tests are going to be available next week. We were told the week before that we would have 1 million tests by the end of that week, and that hasn't happened.
And also 4 million by the time that they were saying it, and that's when we found out that about 11,000 tests had been performed. I think what's so dangerous is that we're talking about this. When you listen to Trump talk about it, he's making these statements like, are we supposed to be comforted that Walmart is making their parking lots available for testing? We are weeks behind where we should be, and they're presenting this as if like we're doing emergency response to the situation as we should have been all along.
But
what's also dangerous, I just want to say, is that Steve Mnuchin on the Sunday talk shows today blamed the American public for misunderstanding what President Trump said in his initial address. Trump said very clearly, we're halting all cargo from Europe.
Yeah.
So now he's saying, oh, people misinterpreted what he said. No, people interpreted exactly what he said as he said it. He said we're halting cargo. Then that turned out to be incorrect. So this, everyone in this administration, what's been horrifying to watch is that our response to this crisis, because of Donald Trump, has been the worst in the entire world. And everyone is in these press conferences blowing him, from Mike Pence to even, frankly, Dr. Fauci. People are either afraid to say how bad our response has been to date, or they're expected to fawn over Donald Trump.
Well, I don't know if anyone watched that press conference on Friday, but dear God.
It was something else.
Mike Pence is the biggest ass licker in America. Like, literally, half his speech, which he's supposed to be the one in charge of handling this crisis, half the speech was him just being like, oh, Mr. President, because of your brilliance, because of your big cock, I literally, it was like to that level, like he was licking his ass. It was so embarrassing. And this is not traditionally the way that the United States has operated. We're not a country like North Korea that has a dictator that needs to be fawned over all the time. Like the president of the United States, That's not what's been required in the past, but Donald Trump is such a narcissist, and it really feels like, to me, this response this week, the speech on Wednesday, the press conference on Friday, it feels like they're all just trying to play catch-up, because for weeks and weeks and weeks leading up to this point, they fucking did nothing except lie and mislead the American public, I think largely because he was more worried about his re-election chances and about the economy than he was over American public health.
What we unfortunately see here at play is something that Donald Trump and the Republican Party both share, which is an obsession only with short-term consequences. Donald Trump, there were reports this week that the reason that we did not use the World Health Organization tests that were readily available and we could have to begin early testing was because Trump was worried that they would show a high number of cases and that would affect his re-election chances. Well, here we are now, soon approaching a national lockdown. And even on Friday at this press conference, he blows corporate America and fawns over them. And it's like in this
bizarre.
15 different CEOs are come to the shared microphone, shaking hands with him, all the things you're not supposed to do, just before the closing bell on Wall Street so they can get the stocks up. And then he takes questions from reporters. And that was the other fascinating thing. It's like there were maybe two reporters that I had ever seen before who are allowed to ask questions. Otherwise, it's frankly, it was like watching
Softball questions.
The Hollywood Foreign Press Association invited there to ask questions, mostly inane questions. And one woman, NPR reporter,
from NPR,
challenged him and said, do you take responsibility for the failures of this administration? And he said, I take no responsibility whatsoever.
And that shows you everything you need to know about the complete lack of character of this man. Harry Truman said the buck stops here with him. Or the buck stops with me, whatever the fuck he said. The point was, is that when you are the boss, you take responsibility. Donald Trump would throw anybody under the bus rather than take responsibility, which he should do. If he was a man of honor and respect, that's what he would do. But of course, he's a complete piece of shit failure of a human being.
Look at the obscenity that followed that.
Horrible.
Even in his speeches, he started talking about how the Obama administration supposedly botched their approach to the swine flu. Lies from the start. And yes, there were something like almost 13,000 deaths in the United States from the swine flu. I think we're lucky that the numbers were low. Catastrophically and very tragically, I fear we're going to see very different numbers as a result of this president. And you watch, he's going to blame local governors, anyone except himself. Mike Pence is going to get thrown under the bus. The CDC, everyone will get thrown under the bus. And if God help us all, first of all, we hope there's a country to have a presidential election in, but if this man is reelected. Look at, by the way,
there will be a country, but sadly, I feel like because we didn't heed the warnings, because we didn't take action quicker, sadly, I think that there'll be a lot more casualties of this virus because of that. And that is shameful. And to me, it is criminal negligence. Like, how dare you, in the face of something like this,
he's only obsessed with his own numbers. And we can already see he paralyzed the federal government's ability to respond to this. And now, frankly, if we're going to avert the greatest public health catastrophe to occur in the United States since the flu pandemic of 1918, it is going to be up to the local governments and the governors. And some of these governors are real fucking idiots. Did you see the governor of Oklahoma tweeted a pandemic infection selfie from a restaurant saying, hey, having a great time? Then deleted it very quickly when they realized that that wasn't going over so well. But we must urge all of our local officials to take this seriously and act while there's still time. That time is measured in days, if we have that, because we are at most 11 days ahead of Italy. Some people believe only about 5 to 7 days, because here the infection is growing exponentially because we don't have the testing capacity. Like, you can believe this. Containment is something you can forget about. There's going to be no containing this here. The only thing we can do is do social distancing to try to, you know, get this under control
distancing
and not overwhelm
works.
Our hospital capacity.
Social distancing works. The countries that have had the most success in, you know, as they say, flattening the curve have been countries that have, have practiced very severe social distancing. I mean, in Japan, everyone, you know, said, oh, they're overreacting when they were closing schools at just 100 cases. Well, guess what? Japan only has 500 cases now. They don't have the thousands of cases that the other countries do. And that's because they acted early. You know, Taiwan acted early. South Korea. You know, these countries are starting to get a handle on it.
And I should mention this. There's a very instructive story from South Korea. South Korea has done an exceptional job in managing the pandemic there. But they have this. This is in the Washington Post. They had a story that the first 30 patients who had the coronavirus disease were practicing social distancing. The 31st patient infected thousands. Literally, from one person, they had 60 deaths. So take calls for social distancing seriously.
Yeah, we should all be doing that on our own, since our government is not mandating it yet. But I guarantee that by the end of this week, they will be.
I think we're doing a very different show on Sunday.
But
of
the
next
sooner
week.
The sooner we do it, the better, the more people we can possibly save from getting infected and from you know, succumbing to this. It's just, it's so horrible. And just for a second to go back to that press conference, I kept thinking, you know, during World War II, the United States made car companies produce tanks to fight the Nazis. And I feel, and you know, there was this like real mobilization. And I feel like in this situation, it's like he's bringing the CEOs of Target and CVS to tell us, oh, yeah, we can use your parking lot. Is that supposed to make me feel better when we know that we don't have the tests, when you can't even answer these questions? I mean, the whole thing, it's just so upsetting. And dear God, we have an election in November. If the American public re-elects Trump and this administration, I will need professional therapy to deal with my emotion. I can't take it. Like, it is just, this is what happens when someone who is completely incompetent becomes the president of the United States. Let us all not forget that in November. This is just, we have put the country in such dire straits. And I mean, I'm sure you saw that. He also said that he was tested for, President Trump said that he was tested for coronavirus this week, because Mar-a-Lago has become like a hotbed of corona. Like, literally everyone who fucking goes to Mar-a-Lago. And so, but they, you know, and they said he tested negative. I don't even know if I believe that. Like, how can we believe anything that comes out of this administration when up until this point, and even now, they are lying to us about the scope of the crisis, about what they're doing to combat the crisis? We are not getting honest, truthful information. And that is a very, very scary thing. And I do think that the misinformation campaign up until this week around the coronavirus has really made America that much worse off. It's fucked up.
When you mention World War II, the other thing that makes me think about is just, you look at how the American public responded during that crisis of a different kind. We had people literally donating pots and pans for use in for metal in factories. We had people having community gardens,
people coming together.
Here, people are hoarding toilet paper. There was that disgusting story of the man from Tennessee who bought out all the hand sanitizer that he could to try to price gouge on the internet. Like, people should, you know, please share this message also with friends. Do not panic buy stuff from stores because you're preventing people in need in the community from getting them. How much toilet paper do you need to get through a week? Don't panic buy shit.
Yeah. Now let's, we've just ranted a lot. I want to pull the lens back a little bit too, because I do think that this coronavirus pandemic, this crisis, is really a good analogy for climate change, just on a shorter time scale. You know, you think about, we are facing an existential threat with climate change, but because that's not going to happen for, you know, whatever it is, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, I feel like it's the same thing that we see from governments, that's lackadaisical response, this minimizing about the coming crisis, the misinformation, the lies that we're told, that it's a hoax, that it's not real.
Or what about the industry? What about the industry?
Right, right. What about the economy? Right. But this is going also to come and bite us in the ass. And maybe not. I mean, I think us, maybe not us, maybe the next generation. Even so, we have a responsibility to act now, or else we're going to pay later.
And you know what? We're not just going to pay. We're going to keep paying forever. Because the difference between this crisis and climate change is that if we had to, we could impose a national quarantine for 2 months and the epidemic would burn itself out and we could then resume normal life. There is no such remedy to climate change.
No.
Once the area around the equator becomes permanently uninhabitable to human life, because let's face it, we're talking about thousands of years once the climate changes, not, you know, a few months. We do need to act now, because there's no going back to normal once the current projections that we are exceeding, actually. We're passing every milestone that was supposed to be 30 years from now. You know, all we have to point to is back in February when Antarctica was hotter than Los Angeles.
And I also think that this crisis highlights the fragility of America and a lot of systems that we have in place that to me feel like they're hanging on by a thread. And what I mean by that is our healthcare system, our safety nets for society. I mean, Congress had to pass this emergency bill over the weekend, which is like a coronavirus stimulus that's supposed to help everyday Americans so that people can actually stay home from work and get paid, because over like a quarter of Americans don't get paid sick leave. Why aren't we doing that anyway in this country? Another problem, because we don't have a centralized healthcare system, there hasn't been a steady flow of concentrated information telling us how many people have been infected. You know, that's why a lot of the tests have been, you know, they haven't been able to test as much, because some of them are going through private companies. Some of them the CDC is doing. Some of them are going to private labs. I think that this is highlighting a really broken system that is not prepared to handle a crisis. And I think that if this shows anything, it's how desperately we need reform in terms of our healthcare system and in terms of our social safety nets. I mean, my God, even this corona stimulus bill that they passed, they said that 80% of working Americans won't even be covered under this because it exempts companies that have over 500 employees. Well, if people are coming to work because they can't afford to stay home, I mean, we're dealing with a society where something like 40% of Americans, if they get a bill of $500 or more, it will literally throw them into economic turmoil. How is that healthy for society when we are knowingly sending sick people to work? And yes, I'm talking about the coronavirus, but what about just take the flu, for instance. The flu every year kills somewhere between 12,000 and about 60,000 people, depending on the year. I think one year it killed 80,000. Why would we want people with the flu to go to work and infect other people that might have things like asthma or any other underlying health issue, or might have a compromised immune system, or might be over a certain age? Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, these are protections for everyday people that we should already have in place, that quite frankly, every other first world nation has.
Because we don't care about ordinary people. And I think that what this crisis exposes is, and we've talked about this in other areas, how Americans are satisfied with the illusion of things. You know, Donald Trump in his...
That's exactly right. It pierces the illusion of all this shit.
Donald Trump, in his first address to the country, said we have the best people on this, we have the best response, the strongest this, the strongest that. In fact, we've had the worst response, and we are going. We haven't even. This is the thing. I think I saw a statistic today that 60% of people in America think that things are going to get worse. And I was thinking it with the coronavirus. I was like, who's the other 40%? Because we are literally on page one of the book that's called The Coronavirus Pandemic Crisis. We don't even know what's coming yet, but trust that it's not going to get better.
Well, I think that that 40% probably represents the people who you know, are Donald Trump fans who have been listening to him, like I said, for weeks and weeks and weeks, him telling them it's going to miraculously go away, him telling them we're going to be down to zero, him telling them it's just like the flu, him telling them it's a hoax. I mean, literally, the man has lied and spread such misinformation about this for so many weeks that, like, you can't just change your tune and expect everybody's going to get on board. Like, he should never, like, that was absolutely criminal what he did, because he's putting American lives at risk.
Speaking of putting American lives at risk, Fox News has been doing that on almost every single show. They've been downplaying this crisis. Among the people appearing on Fox News to talk about how this was a hoax, how this was a Democratic attempt to weaken Donald Trump, was Ronna McDaniel, the chairwoman of the Republican Party. 4 days later, she's in isolation with symptoms that fit the coronavirus. So sometimes life comes at you fast. Like, a lot of these people are going to be in for awakening of the reality of what Fox, they have been lied to about.
Fox News has been an absolute part of the misinformation campaign. I mean, Hannity had Trump on his show. I mean, it was just like over a week ago where Trump was saying, like, people go to work and they get better. I mean, he was literally telling people with coronavirus to go to work. I mean, this has been, I mean, they had to fire that one woman, Trish Regan, because she was saying that the coronavirus was an attempt by the Democrats to impeach Donald Trump. I mean, literally, this is the bullshit that that network is spewing. And Fox News has twice as many viewers as I think all of the other networks combined. They have a massive, massive viewership.
And look at what happened when Joe Biden criticized the lack of testing. The woman who is the campaign chair for Donald Trump's 2020 election campaign attacked Joe Biden and said, Joe Biden is lying to the American public. We've distributed 1 million tests, and by the end of this week, we'll have 4 million tests. And this is the week we learned 11,000 tests had been conducted.
We have no idea
when the actual testing capacity will exist.
When we live in a world where Heidi Klum can't get tested, I mean, literally, I saw that on Twitter last night. She is exhibiting symptoms of the coronavirus. She doesn't know if she has it. She tried to get tested at two hospitals in LA. She can't get tested. When celebrities can't get tested, it's a problem. So I just, you know, I want to leave people with this. It really, at this point, falls on us to try and do everything that we can to stop this from spreading. So practice social distancing. Obviously, everyone's been saying, wash your hands, be smart. And I would much rather overreact and have everyone laugh at ourselves, you know, months from now, being like, oh, look at all this stuff, then underreact and have millions of people die. It is up to us. And right now, we're not getting this leadership from the federal government. We're getting it on from some local governments, but it is definitely not enough. So it really falls on us to act.
Yes. And when you hear Dr. Fauci say things like, I would like to see X, Y, and Z, you should, since that comes muzzled by the Trump administration, you should hear that as you must immediately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're right. I think by next Sunday
we're going to be living in a different world in the United States.
Scary. All right, Miko. Well, with all that good news, what do you say we lighten the mood and move on to new vegan products?
Let's do it.
All right. Yay, new vegan products. Okay, so today we are tasting new vegan sausages from a company called High Peaks. Now, I love sausage, as listeners will know. So you could imagine my delight when I was in a local market. And so, I mean, I thought I had tried all of the vegan sausages on the market. But I saw this brand new packaging, and it's this company called High Peaks, and they make like four different flavors. We're going to be tasting two of them today on the show. We're tasting their sweet apple sausage and their wild mushroom sausage. And we also bought their sunrise trail mix sausage. That's what the name of it was, right?
Yep.
And we'll tell you that I bought it, and for some reason we didn't wait for the show. We wound up eating it before, and we'll tell you about that one too. But first, let's try these. What do you want to start with, Miko? The sweet apple or the wild mushroom variety?
Let's try the mushroom first.
Okay, here we go. Ooh, yummy, yummy, yummy. I mean, that's good. That's really good. I mean, you can definitely, I feel like you definitely get a strong mushroom flavor. The texture of this is maybe a little bit mushier than...
like wheat-based sausage that you...
Well, this is wheat-based.
Hmm.
This is wheat-based. There's the first two ingredients in these sausages, the first is wheat, so it's seitan, and then white beans, and then there's other vegetables and stuff in there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the flavor is excellent. It is a little mushy.
It's a little mushy.
I think that this might be best prepared in the oven as opposed to on a...
You did this on a pan, right?
Yeah, but I think might make it a little bit more...
But I think if you had this, if you just ate this in a hot dog bun or, you know, cut it up and put it in a pasta, it'd be good. It's just that the texture, it's not as as a strong consistency as like the Beyond sausage or even the field roast. I feel like it's a little bit mushy.
Yeah, I think that this kind of the difference to me is between... you know, the modern burger patty and old-fashioned veggie burger patty.
How do you feel about the flavor on this?
It's very good.
Yeah, but really, I mean, the mushroom...
It has a strong mushroom flavor, but it's very good.
If you don't like mushroom, I don't think you're going to like it. All right, now let's try the sweet apple. Mm. Oh, wow. Mmm. Oh. Oh, my. Okay. I definitely prefer this. This is delicious, this flavor. Reminds me a little bit of maybe the apple sage sausage from Field Roast.
Yeah, it's like a smoky apple sausage.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be even like little chunks of apple there or something. The texture is very good.
Wow. I love the flavor on that. That is delicious. That, if you put that in like a creamy pasta, oh my God. Yeah, there's definitely a smokiness to this. And some smoky shit I don't like. Like, for example, like Miyoko's makes that smoked mozzarella. No, girl, I can't. That's way too smoky. It's too strong. This, I feel like, just has a hint of smokiness, but then you get the sweet apple part. That is delicious. The consistency is the same as the wild mushroom.
But you know what's interesting? To me, the smokiness in this, a lot of smoke is like hickory smoke, which is a very specific flavor. This is more like a campfire smoke. Like,
yeah.
if you did a sausage over the fire or something.
That is a delicious... I mean, this also I could see doing in a bun with, you know, caramelized onions and like that. That is a very, very... I mean, it reminds me of fall. It's just a delicious, like, autumn-inspired sausage. That's great. We also, like I said at the top, we tried... They have another flavor called Sunrise Trail Mix, which we tried, which was the most unique vegan sausage I've ever tried. It was actually sweet and had a strong cinnamon flavor. And I don't know, I forget, how did we eat it? Do you remember what we put it in?
We made a Finnish recipe, vegan poronkäristys, which is traditionally, forgive us vegans, but St. Olaf stories. Golden Girls, anyway.
Oh, St. Olaf stories, like Rose. Yeah, I always say that Miko is like Rose on the Golden Girls because Miko's always telling me some Finnish story or about some Finnish food.
Anyway,
that he eats
in Finland, there's a dish that's made traditionally with reindeer meat, but it's a very simple recipe where you basically pan sear your meat and then pour in beer and butter. So anyway, we made that dish with the Sunrise Trail Mix sausage, which I would say almost to me tastes, I think because it tasted like the fireside chai cheese that Miyoko's makes, it reminded me of Christmas. That's
I thought
the flavor
it
was
when we tasted that sausage, the trail mix one, I was like, this tastes like Thanksgiving. Like literally that tasted like a sausage that you would use in stuffing or something. It was so unique and delicious. And I loved that it was so different than any of the other vegan sausages on the market. There's nothing even close to it. So if you can find that one, try it out. But just know that it's different. And I think you have to find the right recipe for it. But yeah, you can mix that up in a rice dish and make like something like, you know, you can do, like I said, stuffing with it, I think would be amazing. But yeah, I really give this company High Peaks like some massive credit for kind of stepping outside the norm and doing something fun and different with vegan sausage, because it's really, really good. They also make an Italian sausage, which I didn't find in the market. So I found that when I went to their website, didn't find it in the market, but it's probably spicy anyway. So literally, I don't know why whenever there's sausage that's Italian sausage, it's spicy. I don't know what that's all about. That's not how I grew up. I don't remember like that, but whatever. I guess everyone's, you know, like the one that Beyond Meat does. They used to do a sweet Italian sausage. Maybe that's what I grew up with. I don't remember the spicy one, but now they only make the spicy Italian sausage and I can't handle it. Too much heat for this Jewish stomach. All right. Well, Miko, what do you give this?
So I'm going to give these an A minus. Huh. And I'm going to give the minus because I feel like the texture of these sausages still needs a little work. They're a little mushy for my taste, but I may report back. I'm going to try doing these in the oven and see if that affects it. But the flavor is excellent. No complaints on the flavor. Just the texture to me could use a little work in the research laboratory.
I agree. But I also think it depends how you use this. You know, you can also break this up. Like lots of times when we're using the field roast sausage, we'll actually break it up and make it into like almost like a ground meat type of situation. And we'll put that in pasta. We won't keep the sausage whole. So I think it depends. But I think for flavor, I give this an A. Like I really have to give them props for not only like creating stuff that's traditionally delicious, but then stepping outside the box and saying, what else can we do with sausage? I think that's really cool. I agree with you. It would be great if the texture was a little bit more sausage-like. But on a whole, I say well done, High Peaks. So if you find this in your market, pick it up and try it out and let us know what you think. All right, Miko, well with that, let's move on to vegan animal rights news.
Let's do it.
Okay, everybody, it is time for vegan animal rights news. First story, Cher is in the news this week. I love me some Cher. She is going to be auctioning off 11 original portraits of herself to raise money for captive wild animals. And they're going to start at $10,000 for the opening price of these things. And the money is going to go to an international charity called Free the Wild.
Wow.
I love it. Thank you, Cher. You know, everyone knows I love, I'm a gay man. I have to love Cher. She's iconic. Okay. If I could turn back time. How was that?
Snap out of it.
I mean, I follow her on Twitter. If you do not follow Cher on Twitter, you are missing out. Okay. Like Cher's Twitter is like literally next level. It's like trying to decipher hieroglyphics. She uses all sorts of capital letters when she's not supposed to. You have to figure out what the emojis mean. She uses emojis instead of words sometimes. Like, it's really something. But anyway, she has spoken about animal issues using her platform as a celebrity. She has spoken out against gestation crates for pigs. She has spoken out against SeaWorld. She has spoken up for, you know, we have an issue right here in Los Angeles in the LA Zoo. With Billy the Elephant, she has spoken up for Billy. She really has used her celebrity to speak out on behalf of animals. I don't know if she's vegetarian or vegan. Like, she said once that, like, she doesn't eat meat, but I don't know if I necessarily believe that because I've heard other reports. But anyway, thank you, Cher. This is really cool, and I hope this money goes a long way to helping wildlife. Okay, next story. The city of Chicago is one step closer to banning horse-drawn carriage rides. They passed a city ordinance. It's city ordinance 0219-4125. And basically what this does is it will halt the issue of new licenses and ban horse-drawn carriage operators from renewing existing licenses that will expire at the end of this year. So by January of 2021, there would be no more horse-drawn carriages in Chicago. This is expected to be passed by the city council, and I will be keeping a close eye on this because I really care very... Look, there shouldn't be any horse-drawn carriages in any U.S. city, but I am hoping that something like this would inspire New York to do the right thing and finally ban the horse-drawn carriage rides in New York. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, we had a horse that collapsed in New York City, and it was horrible and devastating, and the video made the rounds, and the news reported on it. But that's not the only horse. There's been plenty of horses that have been injured, that have gotten in car accidents. It's devastating. So New York City really needs to step up and ban the fucking horse-drawn carriage rides. Enough is enough. So thank you, City of Chicago. I'll report back once I hear if this goes through. But they say that the vote is supposed to take place on March 18th. We'll see if this is going to happen now. I think a lot of people are probably going to be avoiding things like city council meetings because of coronavirus. But I will report back and let you know when this passes. Next story. Very, very sad story. In Kenya, the bodies of two rare white giraffes were found. They were the victims of poachers in Kenya. These are like, there was three of them. There's one left. There was like the only three in the world. The reason why they're white is because they have some sort of genetic mutation or something. And it just, I don't know. This just kind of shit really upsets me and just goes to show the horrible situation of endangered animals in the world. You know, this isn't just obviously, I mean, I think when something like this happens, it really highlights it because these giraffes are very rare, but this is something that we're seeing with rhinoceroses. This is something that we're seeing with elephants. This is something that we're seeing with pangolins. This is a very, very devastating situation for animals, particularly in Africa, but across the world. It's awful. Very sad, very sad. Okay, next story. The coronavirus has pushed the country of Vietnam to draft a wildlife trade ban. This is similar to what they did in China a couple of weeks ago. Now Vietnam looks to be taking up the cause. I don't know what, I'm not familiar with Vietnam's system of government. I don't know. Like I know, it seems to me that in China, because of their system of government, they can get things done very quickly. I'm not saying that the Chinese government isn't oppressive, because it is, and there's a lot of problems there. But they also can, you know, it's like why they were able to get Wuhan under, not quarantine, but what am I trying to say, under lockdown so quickly, is because the government there was like, nope, we're shutting it down. And the same way that they were able to ban the wildlife markets there, they were like, we're shutting it down. So I don't know if it'll be as easy for Vietnam to do that. But I think that if anything good can come out of this coronavirus crisis, maybe humanity can finally wake up and say, we need to take a second look at how we're treating animals. And we talked about this on the show, and how that can lead to zoonotic diseases jumping the species barrier and affecting the human population. It's really time for us to wake up. And this is not just in wildlife markets. This is also with regards to factory farming. This is all over the globe. This isn't just about China. It's just not just about, no, this is all over the globe this happens. And so we as a human race need to look at how we're treating animals, and we need to change it, or else it's us who's going to suffer. Okay, next story. Hugo Boss is launching its first ever vegan certified suit.
Oh,
it's only $900. I'm not in the market for a $900 suit. It's made from linen and viscose, and it's going to be sold in black, dark blue, and beige. I think everyone needs a beige suit.
I was just going to say, I might get a new black suit.
You know, I mean, I know they say everyone needs a black suit's iconic because you can wear a black suit anywhere. You know, a formal event, a funeral, wherever you got to go, a wedding. But I like a beige suit. I like a beige suit for during the day. You know, show up to like a nice like power lunch in a beige suit. That's fabulous. That's fierce. So anyway, I mean, the thing is, I think a lot of the accidentally vegan suits that you find at like Topshop or H&M, they are made of this viscose material too, which is a synthetic material. So it's not that difficult to find. I know for a while it seemed like men that were vegan were kind of stressed over finding vegan suits because most suits are made of wool. But you can actually, if you go to some of these other, like if you go to Topshop or H&M or trying to think of who else has, Zara. They sometimes will have suits that are made from things like cotton and viscose because they're less expensive. And so look for them. If you're a guy listening to this and you need a suit, it's not impossible. You know, you can find something and they're usually pretty affordable. And hell, if you're in the market and you can spend $900 on a suit, get this one from Hugo Boss and support that shit. Okay, next story. The price of Just Egg has plummeted to $4.99 in Whole Foods.
Wow.
That's significant. Like,
wasn't it like $8.99?
Yeah. Well, we also buy it at Gelson's, which is like the most expensive supermarket in the fucking planet. But this is really cool. Now, they said they opened up a new factory where they're making the Just Egg, I think in Wisconsin. And they said the reason why they were, you know, opening this huge factory and whatever was that they were really trying to bring down the price of Just Egg because it is expensive. I mean, we buy it for like $7.99 or something. It's not cheap. I don't know how they've decided whether they struck a deal with Whole Foods or whatever, but going from $7.99 to $4.99 is a major, major price break. So this is very cool. We feel, Miko and I both feel that Just Egg has improved over the years. When it first came out, we weren't crazy about it. And now, Miko, you make it all the time.
Yeah, no, I think it's very good. The current formulation is excellent.
So if you live near a Whole Foods, check it out. You know, I think that, you know, obviously you can do a tofu scramble. That's always good. But the great thing about Just Egg is that it really does have the texture of egg and you can make omelets and stuff with it. And so, yeah, $4.99, we're getting there. I think
I remember when I made you it was a vegan ham and cheese omelet.
Oh my God, it was delicious with the Just Egg. It was delicious. I think what they want to do is get Just Egg down below the price of eggs or just at the price, because I think at that point, you're really looking at a situation where this could really cross over and really disrupt, you know, the
and it's
egg
also
industry.
Cholesterol-free, unlike eggs.
Yeah, that's true, too. Okay, next story. And this is my last story. Beyond Meat has launched two new vegan breakfast sausages.
Oh.
More sausage.
I want these.
Now, I'm trying to see what the flavors are. They have a classic flavor. What the hell's the other flavor? All right. Well, anyway, there's two flavors. They're breakfast style. So these are like, you know, kind of like flat, like a burger. And they're going to be sold at Acme, ShopRite, Whole Foods, Wegmans, Albertsons, and Vons. All right. You want to try these on the show, Miko?
I do.
I'll also note that these have 50% less fat, 35% less saturated fat and sodium, and 33% fewer calories than its meat counterpart. There you go. I am so excited to try these. I don't usually do this kind of stuff at breakfast, but, you know.
I could get into some sausage for breakfast.
Really? What are you talking? All right, enough. Get your mind out of the gutter. All right. With that, Miko, we've come to the end of another show.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We love doing the show. We love you guys. We want everyone to stay safe. Please practice social distancing. Please wash your hands. We will get through this, but we'll get through this in a much safer, healthier way if we all really take on the responsibility ourselves to keep not just ourselves, but our fellow citizens safe from this coronavirus. So have a good week. Take care of yourself. If you want to catch up with me or with Miko, you can do that on Twitter. We've been on Twitter a lot talking about coronavirus and other stuff, but you know, Miko's really on it. You're like in a corona hole. Like you're like at your computer all day. Like with
oh my God, 2 days this week. I was
aren't you anxious?
I don't think I'm... I feel like information is power. So I try to find the most reputable news sources I can and share stories that I think are important. Just one thing that French health authorities have said, which, you know, just occurs to me, so I should share this. This is not certain, but there's concern that ibuprofen may aggravate the symptoms of the coronavirus illness. So if you have a choice, use maybe Tylenol to lower fever should you get the coronavirus.
And follow Miko on Twitter. He's tweeting out all these articles and everything. So he's at Miko Alon. I am at Vegan Ari. You can also use our hashtag Vegan Ari Show. I check that. And remember, if you like our show, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if we do not hear from you this week, we will talk to you next weekend. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.